Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Today, if you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 13. We all have battles that we face, and we're all having to deal with things in life. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22 says, "So on the day of the battle, none of the people of Israel had a sword or spear, except for Saul and Jonathan." On the day of battle, none of, let me replace the word people with soldiers, none of the soldiers of Israel had a sword or spear, except for Saul and Jonathan. You know, the Israelites were dealing with the Philistine technology and trying to get what they had. But the Philistines were very strategic, and they would keep the Israelites from having access to a blacksmith. They would permit no one who worked with iron that was of the Philistine background or was one of the Philistines, no one that worked with iron could operate in Israel. Now, this is very interesting because they didn't want them making swords or letting the Israelites have those weapons. Now, that didn't mean the Israelites didn't have weapons. The Israelites had weapons. They had bows and arrows. I like bows and arrows. They had slingshots. And those things could be deadly. In fact, I mean, David was one of the best of the warriors, and I mean, he could hit a fly on an apple, and a lot of them could. And so I think we've got some pretty good shots of people. I mean, people that can shoot a bow and arrow here, but I think in that day and age, they had something even a step beyond what we can even imagine. Now, there were times in battle where a slingshot or a bow and arrow were very effective. But there were also times in battle that the battle would change, and if the army was against you, kept coming, eventually you're too close range for a slingshot to be effective. Come on, y'all understand that. I mean, a slingshot's not going to work when someone's standing right here. You're like, come on, get away from me. That's not going to work, or you're pulling your bow back, and a club and stick was no match for a spear or a sword. So the Philistines didn't want the Israelites having access to a blacksmith to make those weapons. Now, this is an important part of my whole message today. It's important to know these tools that they used in the natural fighting were illustrations that the Bible uses for us to compare to a spiritual fight. Everyone here faces battles in life. We've already said that. There are tools that you have in your arsenal that will allow you to have victory when you are facing a battle. And you can look at the tools and their use in the natural world, and you can make comparisons to spiritual tools. Because see, we're fighting a battle in the spiritual realm that a lot of times we're not recognizing. And we know how to use tools in the natural, but do you know how to use the tools that God has equipped us with in the supernatural? What I want to state to start with, and if you were making notes, this would be a first giant point. It is the tool that makes contact with the enemy. Now, you may not get that yet, but I've got to go through some illustrations to explain it. When I go to saw a board, and I went up to the church shop, and I got a board and a saw. And when I go to saw a board, I don't go, nor do I try to get my nails all short. Here we go. No, I take a tool, and it's the tool that makes contact with the board. Now, for the cleaning people's sake, I'm not doing it. The tool makes contact. If I'm driving a nail into a board, it is the hammer that makes contact with the nail. I don't hit that with my hand and try to, are you seeing this? This has a Phillips head on it, and it's a screwdriver that I'm going to screw this. I can only go so far with my hand, and then I've got to have the tool. See, that's one of the things that's very sometimes that I don't think we think about when we're thinking about tools, but it's the tool that makes contact with what your frustration is. And if you ever have the wrong tool and you're trying to use the wrong tool to get something done, everybody knows the frustration that can come from having the wrong tool. You're needing a screwdriver and you've got a wrench, or you got a pair of pliers. And have you ever tried to do with pliers what you needed a screwdriver to do? It's just very, very difficult. So when I'm tightening on a nut or a bolt, I might be able to do part of the work with my hand, but to finish the job, I remove my hand and I let the tool take over where my hand can't do it anymore. If y'all will nod, you'll tell me you're getting what I'm saying. See, I'm putting a tool between me and the thing that I want to conquer. I'm putting a tool between it. When we get into a real life battle, we've got to learn how not to contact our enemy with our feelings, our hands, our person. See, it's not important that you connect when you're in fear with your feelings. Fear's starting to come on you, and you're like, okay, this is not good. And you allow fear to be what you see in what you're trying to conquer. Now, fear has two elements. Number one element of fear is the feeling that fear produces, feeling. So fear can produce a feeling. Number two, it can produce an effect. So there's feelings of fear, and then there's the effects of fear. Now, feelings of fear you can easily overcome if you get these tools. You can overcome and you can have victory even when you have the feeling. But you can never win a victory of fear when you succumb to the effects of fear.
Yeah. Wow.
See, when fear removes you from the battle, you're not fighting anymore.
Right.
So you're not going to conquer. Well, this is going to be good if you'll hear what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul told us about, the process that Satan uses to get into your life. Satan will come at you with a passing thought. I mean, whatever you're dealing with, and you can just put it in your head what it is. You're dealing with something, and Satan comes at you with a passing thought. And the thought itself may not even be evil. It's just a passing thought that he's kind of looking and probing to see if it gets your attention at all. This could happen. When you have grandkids, passing thoughts go through your mind all the time. They are in a position that they could get hurt. And so the thought is, you better get over and save them right now, Papa. See, there's a thought that, and then mom and dad seem to not care at all. And so the thought is, do you need to do something with the child, or do you need to tell the parents to do something with the child? Now, this is just real simple. But what you do is you try with everything you can, just okay, they move around the object, it's okay, they didn't fall, a passing thought. But here's what happened. The enemy knew he could get me. And so the enemy comes back second time with another thought. And here's the problem. That next thought totally will contradict the word of God. And so that second thought that he comes with, he'd already probed and knew he got my attention. So then he comes back, and I want to be careful about using illustrations. I'm talking about any battle you're facing, financial, in marriage, with your kids, situations in life with health. He comes at you with a thought, and he probed to see if he could get your attention. He got your attention. Then he comes back and says, you're going to die. And that second thought all of a sudden contradicts the word of God. Because wait a minute here, he didn't say that it's my appointed time yet. And no, I'm not receiving that, or am I? Yeah, I'm probably going to die. I just heard what the doctor said. But it outright contradicts. And so now the enemy has got at you, and the third thing he does is he messes with your imagination, and then you start dreaming up how it's all going to go down. And your imagination heads out. Yep, she's probably going to leave me. Yep, my kids are probably not going to make it. They're not going to be in church. Yeah, my kids are probably, they're just out in left field. See, your imagination starts, are you getting this?
Yeah.
This is how the enemy works on God's people. And once the imagination is accepted, here's what happens. He then has a stronghold in your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we just read it. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Carnal is in the natural, strongholds in the supernatural. It's beyond what's going on just in the natural. Strongholds are something that happened to you. It hangs on to you. It's a sickening feeling that something happens that reminds you. There are strongholds that the enemy has had in all of our lives that bring us right back to a place where things didn't go the way we thought they were. They didn't happen exactly. And the enemy seems like the enemy won here, and I just don't know how I can handle it. And all of a sudden, the same situation you're in right now is like it's a stronghold that the enemy once had on you, and it brings it back up, and you're like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I mean, strongholds can be just as simple as being bit by a dog when you were 5 years old. Can be somebody throwing a snake on you when you were six, and now there's a fear of snakes. It could be a frog, Tristan. It could be 100 different things, but a stronghold, and we don't even know where it came from, but the enemy one time got in our head, and then just all of a sudden, it's all over, and something happens, and it takes us right back to a place where, thrown off a horse trying to rope a calf. A rope and a horse don't go together in my mind. It's a stronghold that I've... Horrible relationship. See, you name it. Your blood pressure goes up when you're around that thing again. Satan loves to develop strongholds in the minds of people. It's just a tool. Sometimes we give in to things and we face certain situations and we act like this is just who I am. And it's a default that takes us right back to the same point of the original attack. It's a stronghold. Some of us have anger issues, and when certain things come our way, we let it go. And then there are other times that we lose our anger. Satan has a stronghold in that area, and he uses that against us. And here's the problem. He beats us in battle with a stronghold. Strongholds are not up here in the air. They're in your head. They're in your head. And we got to see that he has a stronghold. You don't really have a weakness. The enemy has a stronghold. You don't have a weakness. We start thinking, well, I just have a weakness in this. No, the enemy has a stronghold. You don't have a weakness. God did not make you weak.
Yeah.
He sent Jesus for you to get rid of strongholds. You don't have a weakness. He has a stronghold. And people say, well, I have a weakness with my temper. No, a weakness is like a pet. And what do you do with the pet? You pet it. You enjoy it around you. And so you start saying you have a weakness in an area, and what you do is you say, I have a pet, and I'm just petting that weakness. I just get mad over time. I can't really help it. I just can't shut up. I say everything comes to my mind. Now, that's your pet. And you just keep petting it. See, and when you understand that, you realize that it's not a weakness. It's a stronghold. And you're just giving in to the enemy. Ooh, I didn't want to hear that today. Well, somebody needed to. When you know it, you realize it's something foreign and it's not where you're supposed to be because it's not the way God made you to live in the kingdom. And if we're going to talk about the kingdom of God this year, you've got to start seeing things in your life as strongholds so that you can use the tools that God has given you to tear them down. Well, how? 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 You got to understand that when the enemy gives us a thought that contradicts the Word of God, you have to know the Word of God and that he just contradicted it. We have weapons that work against the enemy that we don't access enough. And I want to equip the church this morning. I want to equip you individually to realize that these weapons are real and they're mighty. And they'll break down and they'll tear down strongholds. 1 Samuel 13, 22. So on the day of battle, none of the people, none of the soldiers of Israel had a sword or a spear except for Saul and Jonathan. These are what we would call a sword and a spear, a close contact weapon. Now, I didn't have a sword at home and I didn't contact anybody quick enough. So pretend this is a spear. This is a handmade knife and I'm really excited about it. It's something that I just got a couple weeks ago. It's the nicest knife I've ever had. And what I'm telling you, it is made for a tool for me to use. And when he used the word spear, I'm just going to use this as a spear. This would be a spear. If I had a sword, I'd pull it out and I'd freak y'all out and go, and this is a sword. So illustrations here. On the day of the battle, none of the people of Israel had a sword and none of them had a spear. None of them had close contact weapons because the Philistines wouldn't let them. Are you following along with the message? Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Wiles is a word that we don't use a lot. Let me give you another word for strategies, schemes, or tricks. Tricks from the devil. The best sports teams have developed tricks to get around their weaknesses. I used to love to watch a lot of different teams, but and we still do it to this day. But there was a time when our young men that were playing basketball here at Christian Ministries Academy were very short. And they always played teams that had tall people. And we would try to get in to score a point. And I mean, it's just like we were facing these giants. And we'd try to get in, and we'd run in, and we couldn't score against them. Now, I mean, there was a day that Drew finally grew up, but there was a season where, I mean, we'd try to drive in, and we couldn't get around them because they're just giants in there. And before we grew up and we were kind of small, what we do is the enemy had us, but we found a trick. And we'd drive in and make them think we were going to shoot inside, and then we'd throw the ball back out real quick, and we'd make a three-pointer. And I think that if you were to add up all the 3 points that our teams have made over the last few years, we're one of the best at the three-point shot. Why? Because we realized it was a trick, and even though we may not have beat them in height, we could beat them in another area. See, there's tricks, and we develop tricks. Well, the enemy does the same thing. He develops tricks. And so the trickeries of the devil are real deals. I mean, he beats us through wiles, trickery. Are you getting? That's how the devil's beating you. It's through a trick. It's not something that he really can win with. He just tricks you. And what it's telling us, he really can't run right over you, but he's got to trick you to win you. He's not as strong as you are. He's not as tall. He don't have as much power. And all he's doing is finding the one area of weakness that he can trick you in, and that's how he's beating you. Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When it says to take up your sword, to have your sword in your armor, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, he's not talking about the whole Bible. Now, I have my Bible on my phone. And so if I was to look up any scripture, I could read it. If I pulled up the whole Bible, if you have your Bible, just hold a Bible up. There's a Bible right there. Okay, so there's my whole Bible. I've got my Bible sitting right here. Well, that's your sword. No, not really. He's not talking about the whole Bible. He's talking about the rhema of the Bible. The rhema, the spoken word. So just in your hands, it's not doing anything. It's when it comes out your mouth. That's when it's a sword. The Word of God is not a sword until it is spoken. Very important to know that. When you start speaking the word, it'll just turn into unleashing a sword right out of. And it causes Satan great pain. When you're using the word of God, you just got to know there's a demon that's suffering because you just pulled your sword out. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And it means you can't see them. Carnal, natural, it means you can see it. But the weapons of our warfare are not really seen. But then it goes on in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Here's what you got to know, church. You got to trust your tools. You got to trust your tools. And you can't say, I'm going to saw this board with my fingernails, and I'm going to use my hand, or I'm going to get my teeth in here. I'm going to do, you know, you're not going to accomplish that battle. You're not a beaver. See, but you've got a tool that can accomplish sawing that thing. And nobody would try to saw that board without finding the right tool. And we oftentimes are relying on everything else but the right tool. You know, one of the tools a lot of Christians rely on is enthusiasm. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. Come on, enthusiasm, like that's going to get you somewhere. Now, I'm an encourager now. I like to encourage. For years, I've been going to Honduras and visiting Alvin, and it's been a little while since I've been there, but for years we went, and we go down and see Alvin, and we bring teams down there. And one of the things that I did when I'd go see Alvin, and it was awesome, I would go see our missionary, and while we were there, I would encourage the guys that were working. Not so that I get out of work, but because I just thought they needed encouragement. I mean, y'all are doing good. And you can do an encouragement without even opening. And here's what I always thought was really cool. Before Chico ever come, I watched these guys down there being able to do concrete. And they would sit there and they'd mix that concrete by hand. They just have a bag and they'd put it on just a board. And they'd throw some water on it. They'd mix it on a board, not even in a wheelbarrow. And they just mixed that stuff all up, and I thought, man, they're really good. Y'all are good at that. And the ones that would speak a little English, I'd tell them, I need to tell our concrete guys here about this. Chico could learn how to do some of that. That'd be good for him, you know, because all they do is bring his truck in, and it mixes it all for you, and it's all, and they just call it in, and here it comes. Well, you know, the first trip I took Chico down there, he saw what they were doing, and he had them bring a truck in Honduras. And I thought, I've been motivating them for years to do this all by hand. And now he brings a truck in. And here's what's kind of crazy. Chico's been back several times. And I've been back a few times. And the times I've been back, every time there's concrete, they want to know where Chico's at. And he did not ever, he don't encourage nobody. He don't say anything like that. If you ever been, he's not, he just a doer. He's going to get the job done, and he came in there with the truck. So now every time, where's Chico? What do you mean Chico? Yeah, he has a truck and a pump station to pump the... they want him there. Why? Because you put a tool in their hands, and all they'd ever used was this kind of tool. And so, I mean, they could sit there and make this concrete just as nice as could be. Well, he comes in there and brings this machine that has fans on the bottom of it. Don't they call it the helicopter? Where's the helicopter machine? Because it would go around and it's got a motor on it and it just grade the concrete out. And they're like, see, he brought a tool and all of a sudden the tool was way better than the enthusiasm or the encouragement. Yeah. Are you hearing this? You can get excited and you can lack enthusiasm, but I'm just telling you, a tool will go much further in your life. And how many times do we try to encourage somebody that's going through a battle? I want you to hear the application here. Boy, I'm just telling you, I know you're having a hard time, and I want you to know I'm praying for you and I'm doing this for you. And here's what, but if you could get a tool in their hand, they'd never forget See, some of y'all are dealing with people at your work that are going through some battles and frustrations. And all you're doing is trying to encourage them. And what I'm telling you, if you could put a tool in their hand, it'd be a lot more effective than just the encouragement you're giving. Saul and Jonathan wanted these guys on their team, but none of them had a sword or a spear. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit. Supplication means the act of asking. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. When Paul talks about the armor of God, many theologians believe that there were seven pieces of armor. Now, I'm not teaching on all the different elements of the armor, but the Bible speaks of six of them specifically: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shodding your feet with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, there's six of them. And all soldiers knew that those six were important. But you know, in verse 18 of Ephesians, it says, praying always with prayer and supplication. Praying always with prayer and asking in prayer. And a lot of theologians believe that the prayers and the asking of prayers is not the sword, it's not the helmet, but it's still a battle that's used for close contact, and it's called the spear. Now, I'm just talking about this because spears are used to stop a cavalry charge. Spears are used in hand-to-hand combat. They're used to jab when a hand is thrown at you. And they do a lot of damage. And what I want you to know is the theologians say there's seven. I'm going to go with that, and here's why. Because in verse 18, when it talks about the prayer and the supplication, I just believe that it's talking about the significance of your prayer life. There's obviously some real importance to a sword and speaking the word of God for close combat situations where we think the enemy's right there. But what about the spear? There are several different types of prayer that the Bible talks about. The prayer of faith, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of binding and loosing, knowing what God's will is, praying, putting yourself in a position for the blessings of God. They're all different types of prayer, taking authority in the name of Jesus, just to name different ones. But close encounter weapons could be called a sword and a spear. And if we'll transfer that from the natural to the supernatural, that means the spoken rhema word of God and the act of praying specifically. Yeah. I'm trying to give you some tools this morning. And maybe it's for your situation. See, when fear comes at you, and you have a close encounter battle, and the fight is close, and it's right in your mind, he's going to come with a bad thought, and then a bad feeling. He's going to poke, and he's going to poke, and you get a bad feeling. And a lot of people think the battle is over when you get a bad feeling, and they give up. And what they're giving into is they're giving in to the effect of fear. You need to stop it when it's still in feeling process. They could have overcome the feeling of fear, but they don't know how to resist the effect of fear. Satan wants you to quit because he doesn't want to fight you. He wants you to give up because if the battle is fought, he loses. The Bible says that he's going about like a roaring lion. What I'm telling you is he's not a roaring lion. That's not who he is. He walks about as a roaring lion. He's full of bluster. He's full of big talk. He's full of tricks. And he is also able to be overcome. The spoken word is devastating to fearful thoughts and feelings. Sometimes when you get in a battle, you can't beat the enemy with one jab. You got to continue with the spoken word and your prayer life and the spoken word and your prayer life and the spoken word and your prayer life. And you just keep on and you're in the battle and I'm just there and it's one jab and one jab and one stab and one slice and I'm trying and I don't know what. And see, what am I doing? I'm living out Ephesians 6 that I'll be able to withstand in the evil day. I want to be able to withstand. Not every day is evil, but boy, there are days that, come on, you feel like I'm just attacked. And maybe it was last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was 3 years ago. Maybe it's a few months ago. But you've got to know that you can stand. For many of us, we've had some real evil days in our lives. We have. Come on, we've had some real evil days. Several years ago, my wife and I were at a marriage conference in Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma is not all that bad. There's a couple good things that's come out of there. But I'm in Oklahoma, and I'm sitting in this marriage conference, and my heart starts fluttering. And I'll just never forget sitting in there going, whoo, this is fluttering, and it's a lot. And I had an eye watch on, and I look down, and I'm watching how much it's fluttering, and I'm thinking, okay, this is beyond just the love I have for my wife right now at this marriage conference. This is a lot. It's like 160 to 180 beats per minute, and it's going up, and then it kind of come back down, and then get back up again, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting concerned because I had had some situations with my health right before that because I'd fallen on some ice, and some things had happened, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and it was not good, and I tell Michelle it's not good. Well, we go to the local hospital in Oklahoma. That concerned me in and of itself, just going to a hospital in Oklahoma. But I go to Oklahoma, and I go to the hospital, and I'm sitting in there. And you know, if you don't know this, Chapman, one of our pastors is from Oklahoma. And so I'm just giving him a hard time in this. If you're from Oklahoma, get over it. I'm just having fun. But anyway, so I go to the hospital, and I get this doctor and this nurse, and they're trying to figure everything out, and they run all these tests on me, and I'm like, we don't know what's going on. I stay a day. They finally say, hey, your heartbeat's normal. Well, I'm laying there. I'm not at a marriage conference anymore. I'm not doing anything. Go home. You'll be fine. On the way home, I'm still feeling my heart do weird things, and it's going back up. So we get home, and I go to the hospital again. You know, by this time, the enemy had really kind of worked on my head, and I was doing everything I could to try to say the word of God and to speak the right things, but I kept saying, what if, what if? And in my mind, I didn't tell anybody, but I was getting pretty shook. I mean, I can't get shook. My whole family depends on me. I don't need to be shook up about this. I need to be steadfast. I need to know that God's got me and I got, but I wasn't saying that. I was just kind of, my self-talk wasn't what it needed to be. And I found myself losing a battle. And I got a call while I was in there, and then I had a friend from this church come in and spoke the word of God over me and said, hey, speak this, say this, and pray this, and don't let anything else come out of your mouth but this and this and this. And I thought, okay, that's what I'll do. And when I did that, I just was real careful that was the only thing that came out of my mouth. And a doctor came in and said, how many doctors have you seen over this? And I said, several. And he said, I'm telling you, we did this D-dimer test or whatever it's called, and they said, you have a blood clot, I believe, somewhere in your body. And they found one in my leg. And I thought, why couldn't anybody else find this? And I started realizing that I started speaking and only saying the right thing time and time again, and I was in this battle, and the enemy was tricking me to not use my tools. Are you hearing me? But when I started using the tools, I watched the enemy back out of the battle. And I've had a couple of times where he would send that thought right back in, that thought would get back in, and I know how to fight it now. And I've went up because I'd have different pains or different things. Doctor, what's going on? And they'd do the test, but I'd only say the right things coming out of my mouth. And they'd say, yeah, you don't have that. Go on home. You're just old. You're just having some pains. And the crisis with the economy, how to pay your bills, with marriages, what all we're dealing with in life. Satan fires negative thoughts at you. Come on, he does that. That's what he does. He tries to trick you. He tries to get your mind going nonstop. And when I was alone, I remember in that hospital that evening, babe, just go home. I'm fine. Go on home. And laying there in the hospital, tears coming up in my eyes and in my mind. And I've got grandkids that I would like to see and influence in life. I've got my kids. And this is a tough deal. And I just, it was a battle all the time for me. And these thoughts would come. These thoughts would still fly through. Even when I was saying, I'm in the battle and these thoughts coming through. Why are these thoughts? Why do I have these thoughts? Isaiah 54:17. Here's some of the verses that were given to me. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Romans 8:28. Here's what you say. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Come on, I had that in me and it was coming out my mouth. And then Matthew 21:22, you can pray for anything. If you have faith, you can receive it. I'd pray these things and then that thought would come again. Well, I'm wanting to help somebody this morning because I know that you've been right there. Maybe you're there right now. I'd feel good for a few minutes, even a few seconds, and then my heart would flutter, something else would happen, and I'd go in and pray, and I'd quote scripture in prayer, and I'd continue to pray these verses over my situation. I'd pray them in my office when I was at home. I'd pray them, and I wouldn't talk to anybody about what I was fighting because I didn't want anybody to know that I was shook. See, I didn't want anybody to know, and I don't know if that makes sense or not, but you can choose to not be shook. I mean, I was shaken, but I wasn't shaken. Does anybody hear what I'm not? I was, but I wasn't. I mean, there was like a different part of me. Part of me was like, okay, I'm shook up. And the other part of me is like, you're not shook at all. And you can choose to not be shaken. And although the feelings of fear are there. Come on, the feelings are real. I don't want to make fun of the feelings. But I'm not going to let the feeling of fear move me into the effect of fear and remove me from the battle. Satan wants into your heart. And if he gets your heart, he wins. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what had to happen is I had to not let him have access to my heart. So here's the key. And you have your Bibles, you got to turn to Mark 11. See, I don't want him to have access to my heart because then he starts messing up everything and I withdraw from the battle. So what do? I make sure that the only thing that comes out of my mouth is rhema, is the spoken word of God, and I use my spear and I pray and I talk to God. And I say, God, I'm believing you for complete healing. And I feel weird doing that. But I'm believing you for complete health. Yeah. I know that health is mine. I know that that's what I'm going to walk into. And I start praying that and believing. See, I want to preface this next verse, though. Jesus was speaking here to those that were already in his world. Yeah. He was talking to the disciples here. This wasn't on the Sermon on the Mount. This wasn't to just the multitudes. This was the people who'd given their whole life to him and said, I'm in. I'm in 100%. And so you're not going to receive this verse this morning. It's not going to work for you if you're not all into the kingdom. That's why I've waited. God gave me this to speak to the church at the beginning of this year. Actually, you got to talk about the kingdom, but he said it's going to have to be towards the end. And why at the end? Because we spent all year teaching about how to live in the kingdom of God. And right now, this is for those who said, yes, that's me. I'm living in the kingdom of God. That's where I'm going to live. I'm living by his kingdom and his rule. For assuredly, Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, I like this. Here's what you got to know. The fig tree the day before had been walking by, and Jesus had cursed the fig tree here. And then he comes back by it, and Peter goes, hey, look, the fig tree's dead. And he goes, yeah, and here's what you got to know, Peter. These are just to the disciples. Well, I want to tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. He wants your heart. And if you start doubting in your heart, then you won't say the right thing. But if you don't have the Word of God in your head and you're fighting with close contact weapons, then you're going to say the wrong thing. And when you're saying the wrong thing, it messes your heart up. And then when your heart's messed up, you don't say the right. See, there's an elevator from your head right down to your heart. It has to go by your mouth. And if you'll watch what comes out of your mouth, and it's the Word of God, and it's the prayer of supplication, the next thing you know, your heart gets filled up right. And then the right things start continuing to flow correctly. And so you say it before you really can see it, but you get it in your heart. And then out of the bunch of the heart, it keeps being said. And before long, you walk out of the hospital. I'm just, that's what happened to me. He didn't say you have whatever you feel. He didn't say you have whatever you believe. Oh, Pastor, sometimes I don't know if I'm believing or not. I don't know where my belief is. I think I am. But how do I know when my heart's beating 165 miles an hour? Or beats per minute, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. I can't. But I can control what I say. You got to get this because it will make a difference in how you live life. I just had to keep this mouth going right in the middle of that heart going 100 miles an hour. I was on auto, jabbing. God, thank you. Prayer, supplication, and my heart's well, and I'm in good shape. Thank you, God. And I'm jabbing and jabbing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I know that all things are possible for those who believe. And I know, I'm trying to believe. God, I know that I am more than a conqueror. God, I know that I'm the head, I'm not the tail. Father, I'm thinking, you see, as the Word of God's coming out of my mouth, and it continues to come out of your mouth, you can have what you say. He said that to God's people that were in the kingdom. Boy, you got to live in the kingdom. It's worth it all. And then you say and you do and you keep acting on and operating on. There's no weapon that's formed against me that's going to conquer. That's what I'm going to say. That's what's coming out of my mouth. And boy, it just builds your heart up, builds your heart up. And we know that the God causes everything to work together for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. One of my favorite verses. I know the plans I have for you. God, thank you for saying that you know the plans. And the plans is for me to have life and life more abundant. I want you to know that in life, Satan has to ride the elevator through your head to get to the mouth and heart. So you got to know that this weapon will fight the things that are going on in the natural. They're carnal. You can see them all. And he's trying to get you to get out of there and lose the battle in the supernatural. And he's doing it through his tricks. We must never let him get to this floor, the mouth. He can't get to the mouth. Watch what you say. Maybe you need to encourage somebody at work with that. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Watch what you say. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Because you can only have what you say if what you say is the Word of God and you're fighting it with the right battle. I want a bunch of God's people winning some battles. And I'm preaching this right now before I know of a lot of them going on. But maybe you know of one and you haven't been talking about it. Hopefully I've given you some tools to fight today. You came to church to get equipped to go out and do the work of the ministry. This week, let's do the work. Let's get the Word of God, the Rhema. Because there's some close battle contacts. I mean, I'd rather use the bow and arrow before they get real close. I'm not into the close contact stuff. My brother and I used to love flipping each other with a towel. Well, I like to flip him with one. But he learned the secret. All you got to do is get close to me. And then I can't. See, the enemy knows the secret. If he gets close to you, you don't. You're trying to encourage everybody. Give him a tool. Give him a tool so they can make contact with the enemy and win the battle. I'm not touching the enemy with my hands. I'm not giving him my feelings. I'm not coming into contact with my belief in that sense. I'm using the tool to win the battle. And I only let him in contact with the tool. And the tool is the Word of God, the Rhema. It's the spear, the prayer of God's people. And you, church, can win. You don't see it in the natural. The weapons of our warfare are not natural. So I use some natural illustrations because the Bible did. But the weapons are mighty to break down the strongholds that the enemy's got. And he's messing with them in your mind. And the wrong things will come. Oh, I just keep giving in to that. Whatever that is, you don't have to keep giving in to that. That's just the way I am. That's a stronghold. And today, I believe that the Holy Spirit identified that in some of y'all's lives. And yeah, you have some weapons to fight it. You stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.